Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, January 25th, 2016. Rebel leader Riek Machar talks to Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni about mediating South Sudan's political standoff.
What I'm going to do is appeal to President Museveni to assist us so that voice of reason is brought back.
And South Sudan's government spokesman says President Kiir's decision to create 28 states cannot be reversed.
If you want to test the waters, just hold a public rally here in Juba and declare officially that we are not for the 28 states. We are demanding the revocation of the order. And then see what will be the reaction.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Rebel leader Riek Machar is in Uganda to seek the help of Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni over South Sudan's stalemate on President Salva Kiir's decision to create 28 states. Machar says the rebels want to amend the current transitional constitution to incorporate the Agas Peace Agreement, which recognizes the original 10 states. He says the Kiir administration wants to enshrine the president's 28 states into the new constitution.
We met for 18 hours. We sent them back, all of them, on the 23rd of this month, and they started meetings in Juba. Our position on the 28 states is that this is a violation of the agreement. And since it is a violation and it is inconsistent with the agreement, we have nothing to do with it. The main problem is that the government is refusing to agree with us in the incorporation of the agreement to the transitional constitution so that the number of states is mentioned as 10, like it is now in the transitional agreement. So we think the 28 states declaration is an obstacle to the process of getting a constitution so that we can form a transitional government of national unity.
On the issue of forming a transitional government of national unity, two deadlines have been passed, Friday and Saturday. How is this issue going to be resolved?
Well, as I told you, you cannot form a transitional government of national unity without a constitution. You know that even if you want to establish a company, you must have rules for establishing such a company. So the same is establishing a government. You need to have a constitution. In this case, we need to amend the current transitional constitution so that it incorporates the agreement. Once we agree on this, then we can form a government. The disagreement is that the government insists that the 28 states, which they established 39 days after the agreement was signed, they insist that these 38 states be enshrined in the constitution. But the agreement says 10 states only. So it's time that the international community, starting from IGAD, and then the Peace and Security Council of the AU, the AU Summit, the UN Security Council, rein on the government in Juba so that they drop this idea of 28 states and they quit this violation which they are doing.
So you are scheduled to meet with Ugandan President Museveni. If I'm right, it's on Monday. The meeting is on Monday. What are you going to tell him? The Troika has also said that this idea of 28 states is hampering or hindering the process. What would you tell President Museveni?
You know, President Museveni has been instrumental in persuading President Kiir to sign the agreement, which President Kiir did on the 26th of August, 9 days late, because we signed on the 17th. I think it is time for President Yoweri Museveni to exercise his influence on President Kiir so that President Kiir drops the 28 states and we go forward so that we can forge a constitution. And then once passed by the Transitional National Assembly, then a government can be established.
You were the one who introduced the idea of these 28 states before.
Well, in 2014, December, we had passed in our conference that South Sudan be divided into 21 states, which in the same line with the former British districts. These districts have clear delineated borders and demarcated borders on the ground. So we try to sell this during the negotiations in Addis. The government rejected that because they wanted 10 states. The mediators told us there was no money. When the agreement came and included only 10 states, we say, okay, we will take our program of 21 states to the people, particularly during the permanent constitutional making. But then we were surprised on 39 days later by President Kiir by declaring and establishing 28 states, a contradictory position, which is violating the agreement, which is also creating new conflicts among our population. So what I'm going to do is appeal to President Museveni to assist us so that voice of reason is brought back.
That's Rebel leader Riek Machar speaking with VOA's James Batty before leaving for the Ugandan capital, Kampala, earlier today. Meanwhile, the SPLM's lead negotiator, who returned to Juba from Pagak last week, said his group wants to implement the peace agreement without increasing the number of the states. Charlton Doki has this report for VOA from Juba.
There is still no agreement between the government and armed opposition on South Sudan's number of states. On Christmas Eve, President Salva Kiir appointed the governors of the 28 states he unilaterally created earlier. The National Constitution Amendment Committee, which is comprised of members from the SPLM in opposition, government officials and former detainees, continue to be at odds over the issue well past the deadline to form a transitional government of national unity. More than a week ago, the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission and government and SPLM in opposition officials agreed to negotiate over the 28 states. Upon his return to Juba, lead SPLM in opposition negotiator Taban Deng Gai says, as far as his group is concerned, South Sudan remains a country of 10 states.
The leadership of SPLM-IO recommended and decided that we should insist and stick to the implementation of the agreement in spirit and letter, which means 10 states is what the agreement was signed on the basis.
Guy says he will present this decision to the government negotiators. He says peace implementation monitors, JMEC, will play a central role in resolving the matter.
In case of a disagreement between us and the government, we shall ask JMAC to decide or to report to AU and Security Council. This is important because we don't want to disagree later on because the agreement is signed on the basis of 10 states.
The Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission's deadline for forming the transitional government of national unity expired on Friday. Guy says the transitional government cannot be formed until a constitution which incorporates the terms of the peace deal is in place and the number of states are agreed to by all sides. For VOA News, I am Charlton Doki in Juba.
That report was prepared by Philip Thornaleu in Nairobi. South Sudan's information minister says President Salva Kiir's decision to create 28 states does not hinder the implementation of the peace agreement. Michael Makui says the 28 states is a popular demand of South Sudanese and the government is willing to provide funding to put the idea to a national referendum.
In the first place, we agreed on the 12th of this month in our meeting in Jemek that we should disregard all the niceties and set up the transitional government of national unity by the 22nd. This was agreed by all of us, including the members of Jemek, the members of the SPLM-IO who are in Jemek, including Gerald Taban Dengai, who is their representative, and Dr. Liu Matok. This was agreed, and it was good news to the people of South Sudan. Just the next day, Dr. Riek Machar issued a press statement denouncing what we agreed upon in Jemek, and stated that we will not be in a position to continue to establish the transitional government of national unity except after the adoption of the constitution. That was actually a setback. And that setback, then nevertheless, even though a setback, we continued to live with it, hoping that they will come back and respect what was agreed in JEMEC, because JEMEC is the only authority, it is the only body established to resolve the outstanding issues. The issue of the 28 states, our position as a government is that the current delegation that came to South Sudan is inclusive of 21 delegations for the 21 states established by the SPLM-AIO, and we have the list. Now they come up and say, you are in violation of the agreement. And meanwhile, they are sending 21 delegations to the 21 states which they had established.
Mr. Minister, the rebels have said that when they came up with the idea of 21 states, it was before the August agreement was signed. You came up with 28 states after the August agreement was signed. So they are saying you are in violation of the August agreement. Even the Troika is saying that the 28 states idea is hindering the implementation.
No, I don't agree with what they are saying, because when they decided to send us the list of their advance team, they sent us, within the advance team, there was a list of 21 delegates going to the states, to their 21 states. And we have the list.
Is there a compromise? Can we get a compromise here where your government is willing to accept something between 21 and 28, where the two sides can agree?
In fact, there is no problem. It is only the SPLM-AIO which is trying to make a case out of nothing. They, if you go to the agreement, you will find that what we have done is even an improvement to the agreement. It is not a violation. It does not amount to a violation in any way. It is an improvement. They will have 6 governors instead of having 2. They will have 40% in 10 states instead of having in 3 states. They will have 15% in 18 states instead of having 15% in 10 states, in 7 states. Well, who is now the beneficiary? And after all, this is in response to the demand of the people of South Sudan. We told them that if you are doubting it, let us go. You let us avail funds, and we go for a referendum so that the people of South Sudan decide on it. This is one. We also said that if you want to test the waters, just hold a public rally here in Juba and declare officially that we are not for the 28 states. We are demanding the revocation of the order, and then see what will be the reaction. These are options that we gave them.
That's government spokesman Michael McQuay speaking with VOA's James Batty earlier today. You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, experts predict the future of South Sudan. That story is coming up after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is the most important value to teach to children?
One of the most important values to teach to children is discipline, because everything you do in life revolves around it.
Is to make them believe in themselves. If you believe in yourself, you believe that you can do anything. You can do everything you want. You can be whoever you want to be in the future because you think you can do it.
I think the most important one is respect. Because I know and believe that respect can help the children in future as they are growing up.
We raise up a child in a good way whereby he can respect the elder and respect even the age mate.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. At least one political analyst in Juba says the continued standoff between the two warring sides diminishes the hopes of South Sudanese for lasting peace. Political science lecturer James Okok says the international community should pressure the two sides to fully implement the peace deal and end the suffering of South Sudanese citizens. Mungume Debs Rakarinj has the story for VOA from Juba.
The opposition says President Kiir's decision to unilaterally create and appoint governors for 28 states violates the August agreement. James Okuk teaches political science at the University of Juba.
It seems the opposition are trying to stick to the legal interpretation and the legal perspective of the agreement because they don't trust the government. So only they can trust the law. So if something is legal, it means you feel safer because you know the law will protect you in case of differences in future. Politically, they are not sure because if they go for a gentleman agreement and for a political settlement, who knows, this could be dishonor in future and then they have nowhere to resort to.
International aid groups say both sides have violated several ceasefire agreements since the conflict began in December 2013. While officiating at the swearing-in ceremony of the 28 new governors earlier this month, Mr. Kiir said the government cannot stop going about its business because of the details regarding the transitional government. Mr. Kiir insists the new states are meant to provide better services for the population at large. But Riek Machar's opposition says the president must rescind his decision. Okuk says the government feels it will lose its credibility if it gives in to the opposition's demands.
They have already gone ahead with a de facto government of this 28 state. So how do they tell them to go back home after they have promised them now that you are the government of the day? So this is the fix the government finds itself, and it is so embarrassing for them to just say, okay, let's go back to 10 state.
And Okuk says this is creating frustration and panic among South Sudanese. He says the international community and the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, or JMEC, tasked with implementing the agreement should endorse a new timetable for the transitional government and ensure that it is respected. Yesterday, Machar said he will ask Uganda's President Yoweri Museveni to persuade President Kiir to rescind his decision. Okuk believes this may mark a turnaround in South Sudan's stalemate over the 28 states.
Now, he's reconciling with Ayo, who he has been fighting to. So the fact that he's inviting their leader to go to Kampala so that they sit down and negotiate on the implementation of peace agreement, it means he's opening a new chapter with the Ayo. And this is also a signal to the government that there are no fixed allies.
Okuk says President Museveni should pressure the two sides to reach a consensus and implement the peace agreement they signed in August. For VOA News, I am Mugume Davis Rakarinj in Juba.
And now for some good news. A non-governmental organization in Wau is giving hope to hundreds of war victims from the Greater Bahar Ghazal region. Officials at a physical rehabilitation center run by the International Committee of Red Cross say in 1 year, they have provided artificial limbs to at least 700 war disabled people. Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Wau.
22-year-old Mary Awach says her left leg was amputated after she was injured by a landmine in 1997.
I was just moping on the road with three children. A landmine was down and we don't know. So one of the children is the one who stand on it. This way I get injured. I was asked whether the leg should be cut or not. And I refused. They said if we leave it like that, I may die. So I accept it.
Awach says unlike in the past when she could not walk, she is now able to do what everyone else in her community is able to do.
Feeling good because I can walk and dance. When I hear the sound of the gun, I fear if people fight again, someone can be shot or they may put the mines again on the roads. And they say maybe they will become like me.
The rehabilitation center provides above and below knees prostheses or artificial limbs under the close supervision of physiotherapist doctors. For war victims like Mark Madut, who could not walk because both of their legs were either paralyzed or blown off, a wheelchair is provided. Before receiving his artificial limbs, Madut had to crawl on his hands and knees. He says now he is able to move from one place to another with ease.
I think this bicycle of mine will provide me like going to school. So I will use to go to school always. Even now I'm still young, I'm still continuous with my education. So that is what I get from ICRC. My life last time was very hard, because I used to crawl on using hands and knees.
Doko Simon, one of the physiotherapists at the rehabilitation center, says the center handles not only war victims, but those whose legs were amputated due to other injuries such as a snake bite, polio, or accidents. He says the aim is to make sure the wounded are able to walk again and be productive members of society, rather than become beggars on the street.
We are to rehabilitate them, because many of them that we get from here, when we give service, you see them begging. That's not the aim, that, okay, we give the service too. This is, you are given this so that you don't go and beg. It's to change your lifestyle. We give you tricycle so that it changes your lifestyle. Okay, like, for instance, when you are given a tricycle, if you are a businessman, you'll be able to ride your tricycle to a business center so that you'll be able to carry things by your tricycle to your business center. If you are a student, so that it facilitates you from home to school so that you'll not be caught late. You are given the device so that you don't go and beg. It is to change your lifestyle. Okay, disability is not inability.
Physiotherapist Celestino Nthiga says the center receives many people who come from as far away as the disputed Abyei region.
So now we are working with the lists. Strategically, as we go forward, this year we will maintain it as it is. In Wau, we are not doing full production. What he does is he will see a patient, he will do the casting, and we send it to Juba.
ICRC's head of sub-delegation in Wau, Karina Lehman, says the center is part of Red Cross International's activities to help war-affected victims in South Sudan rebuild their lives.
Our objective is really to alleviate the suffering of people that have been affected by conflict or as well disease or accident. And the services here, and it serves all the population in the greater Baal-Ghazal region.
Wau's Physical Rehabilitation Center is the third in the country, the other two being in Juba and Rumbek. All the three provide free services for people with disabilities. The Wau Physical Rehabilitation Center also promotes sport activities, including wheelchair basketball. ICRC officials say since 2013, they have assisted nearly 5,600 people with disabilities and have evacuated nearly 1,000 war wounded in collaboration with the South Sudan Red Cross. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Wau.
The World Health Organization says the health and well-being of an estimated 60 million people worldwide are likely to be affected by the El Niño weather phenomenon this year. WHO says people in the tropics will be most seriously affected by extreme changes in temperatures and rainfall patterns. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from WHO headquarters in Geneva.
El Niño, which emerged toward the end of last year, is expected to peak this month and then begin to wind down through March and April. But the World Health Organization warns the health consequences will likely worsen as the full effects of El Niño are felt throughout 2016. El Niño is defined by unusually warm ocean temperatures in the central and eastern equatorial Pacific. It produces extreme drought and acute water shortages, as well as heavy rainfall and flooding in different parts of the world. People in the Horn of Africa, southern and eastern Africa, South Pacific, Central America, and South Asia will likely suffer most from these extreme weather conditions. The WHO says seven countries, Tanzania, Kenya, Kenya, Chad, Somalia, Nicaragua, Honduras, and Peru are most at risk. The WHO's Director of Emergency Risk Management and Humanitarian Response, Rick Brennan, says the health impacts from El Nino are significant.
So we have a broad range of potential impacts, from malnutrition to infectious diseases to disruptions of health services. And again, it's the most vulnerable. It's the poorest countries, it's the elderly, it's the children that are most impacted.
Brennan says drought associated with El Nino can result in high levels of malnutrition and lead to death among children. He says acute water shortages can disrupt sanitation and hygiene services, causing infections such as diarrheal disease and scabies. On the other hand, he says heavy rains can increase the risk of diseases such as malaria and dengue. He says flooding can kill and injure people, as well as damage and disrupt vital infrastructure. Brennan says countries can take a number of steps to prepare for El Nino and limit its health consequences. These include disease control measures such as vaccinating malnourished children against measles. He says countries should increase hygiene services to control infectious diseases and prevent the spread of malaria, dengue, and other diseases. He says surveillance systems to detect disease outbreaks early should be scaled up so quick action can be taken to contain them. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. Rebel leader Riek Machar is in Uganda today, seeking the support of Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni to resolve the stalemate between the government and the SPLM-IO over creation of the 28 states. Machar says the rebels want to amend the transitional constitution to incorporate the August peace deal, which recognizes only the original 10 states. On Christmas Eve, President Kiir announced the governors of his newly created 28 states. At a SPLM-IO opposition meeting held in Pagak last week, officials resolved to maintain the original 10 states. The SPLM-IO's lead negotiator, who returned to Juba late last week, says the peace deal should be implemented with the original 10 states. The National Constitution Amendment Committee, which is comprised of members from the SPLM-IO, government officials and former detainees, continues to be at odds over the issue, well past the deadline to form a transitional government of national unity. That deadline expired on Friday. And finally, at least one local analyst says the continued standoff between the two sides worries most South Sudanese, who think it could erode the peace deal. Police science lecturer James Akok at Juba University says the international community should put additional pressure on the two sides to fully implement the peace deal and end the suffering of the South Sudanese people. The opposition insists that President Kiir's decision to create and appoint governors for 28 states violates the August deal. That's a look at today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Damme.
And that's the end of our show for this cold Monday here in Washington. We now leave you with the song Sitting in a Limbo by Jimmy Cliff.
Sitting here in limbo, but I know it won't be long. Sitting here in limbo, like a bird without a song. Well, they're putting up resistance, but I know that my faith will lead me on. Sitting here in limbo, waiting for the dice to roll. Sitting here in limbo, got some time to search my soul. Well, they're putting up resistance, but I know that my faith will lead me on.
We have been listening to Jimmy Cliff with the song Sitting in Limbo. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. What I've seen, tried my